Thank you. Okay, we are looking at chapter 10 of 1 Samuel today, and it has 27 verses. The theme here is Saul anointed king by Samuel. Our study today focuses on the Lord's sovereignty in establishing Saul as Israel's first king. The study highlights how the Lord divinely empowered Saul to become the king of Israel. It therefore shows us how the Lord is empowering us, his elect, to reign with him when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Saul anointed king. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" It is important to note in verse 1 that the Lord anointing Saul was for the purpose of making him captain over the Lord's people or inheritance. That means that to become a king of the Lord's people or his inheritance, we must be anointed. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." The Lord's inheritance is our inheritance. The Lord has shown us in his word that he will give us the nations as our inheritance. Psalm 2, verse 1 says, Psalm 2, verse 8 says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." Psalm 24, verse 1 says that a psalm of David, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein." In Psalm 133, verse 1, we are shown what the anointing does in our lives to ensure our kingship when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. It helps us to dwell together in unity with our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, which is the pillar of the truth of the Lord's word. Psalm 133, verse 1 and 2. A song of degrees of David. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that runs upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and that went down to the skirts of his garment." The Lord is therefore training us as rulers within the body of Christ, so that in the fullness of time, we shall reign as kings with Christ. This training involves living in unity with our brothers and sisters as we go through suffering in this age to destroy our flesh. Living in unity implies being of one mind and speaking the same thing. 1 Corinthians 1:10. "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." What we must go through to become kings. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 2. "When thou departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou went to seek are found. And lo, thy father has left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?'" After anointing Saul, Samuel told him about what will happen to him on his way to become king of Israel. Therefore, it shows us what we must go through as anointed of the Lord in order to realize our kingship when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. The two men in verse 2 represents the Lord's elect, the Lord's witnesses. The fact that the two men were by Rachel's sepulcher implies that all of the Lord's witnesses are going through the death of their flesh, or the valley of shadow of death. And that's the meaning of Zelza in this age, through the Lord's judgment. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We must note that the two men who serve as the Lord's witnesses were to let Saul know that the asses have been found and that his father is worrying about him. This is to let us know that when the Lord calls and chooses us to become his elect, he ensures that our needs are met so that we can serve him in rest and quietness. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." Saul's father caring about Saul after finding his lost asses is to show us the Lord's care regarding us. The reason he cares about us is that he loves us dearly as his children. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 and 4. "The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry." 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. "Then shalt thou go on forward from there, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. There shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they shall salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand." The plain of Tabor is a mountain near the hills of Nazareth. As we have indicated in previous studies, a mountain on a positive note signifies the house of the Lord or the church of the Lord's elect. Saul going to meet three men on their way to God at Bethel affirms that it is in the house of the Lord that Saul was going to meet these three men, since Bethel means house of God. These three men represent the Lord's elect who are going to offer sacrifice to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Saul meeting the three men at the plain of Tabor implies that we are reigned with Christ. Saul meeting the three men at the plain of Tabor implies that if we are to reign with Christ, then we must come into the church of the Lord's elect. That is where we learn to offer ourselves as living sacrifice to the Lord. It is important to know that the Saul was going to meet the three men at Mount Tabor. The number three means the process of spiritual maturity through the Lord's judgment of our old man of flesh. The fact that the three men were carrying three kids and three loaves and a bottle of wine is to show us that offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord is a process attained through the Lord's judgment of our flesh. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The three men saluting Saul and giving him two loaves of bread in verse 4 means that in entering the church of the Lord's elect, we are given to know Christ through this word, which is symbolized by the two loaves of bread given to Saul. The word of the Lord that we receive is through what every joint supplies in the assembly of the Lord's elect, as we are granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It is instructive to understand that Saul was given two loaves of bread. The number two means a witness. It implies that in coming to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, we must compare scripture with scripture. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Samuel 10:5-7. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come there to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come upon thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. It is on the hill of God, or the assembly of or the church of the Lord's elect, that there is a Philistine outpost. This implies that it is in the church of the Lord's elect that we pay attention to the deeds of our flesh. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. As we are aware, it is in the city of the Lord's elect that we meet prophets with lyres, timbrels, pipes, and harps as they prophesy. Prophesying here means singing praises to the Lord with lyres, timbrels, pipes, and harps. Singing to the Lord is a form of prophesying as shown by the sister of Moses, who is called a prophetess, and the daughters of Philip, the evangelist, with seven daughters who prophesied. Acts chapter 21, verse 8 and 9 says, and the next day we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And here the prophecy is about singing. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20 and 21. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. So Miriam too was a prophetess, but in this case, the prophecy is about singing. It's all about singing. So singing is a form of worship. And therefore, it is in the church of the Lord's elect that we learn to worship the Lord in spirit as we offer our bodies as living sacrifice to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So worshiping the Lord is presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. As shown in verse 8:6, it is in the company of prophets or the Lord's elect that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us to turn us into another man. And the another man here is Christ. We must remember that it was when the disciples were together on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit descended upon them to turn them into Christ or another man. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty, mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives is to lead us into the truth, which is a requirement if we are to reign with as kings, as we see the Holy Spirit came upon Saul. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. As indicated in verse 7, when we are given two loaves of bread as we come into the assembly of the Lord's elect, and we are given the Holy Spirit to turn us into Christ or another man, then it means that the Lord is with us. It is not when things are going well with us that shows the Lord is with us. We may not feel his presence, and we may be going through all kinds of trials and tribulation, but we must be assured that the Lord is with us as long as we are given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven through the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8 and 9. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offering and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. It was in Gilgal that Israelites were circumcised when they went over to Jordan. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. Joshua chapter 5 verse 8 and 9. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. What we are therefore being told is that it is by doing away with our flesh, through the Lord's judgment of our old man of flesh, that is when we can offer our bodies as living sacrifice to the living Lord. holy and acceptable to him. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The fact that in verse 8, Samuel told Saul to wait for him for 7 days to be told what to do implies that offering ourselves as living sacrifice is a process. The 7 days waiting for the Lord to come to us to offer the sacrifice pleasing to him is the complete period of time in our lives that we go through the Lord's judgment of our flesh. In verse 9, it was when Saul turned to follow Samuel's instruction that the Lord gave him another heart, and what had been said about him came to pass. It is through our obedience to the word of the Lord that we are given another heart. This is what it means to be given another heart. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 29. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. You shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10 to 13. And when they came near to the hills, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said to one another, what is it that is come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered, and said, but who is their father? Therefore, it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? When he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. In verse 10, we are told that what Samuel said about Saul came to pass. This is to assure us that what the Lord has said in his word concerning us will come to pass in the fullness of time. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Many of those who knew Saul wondered what had happened to him. In a similar vein, many who knew us during our time in the churches of this world are wondering what's become of us. Just as many wondered whether Saul was really among the prophets, many are not really sure whether we are among the Lord's elect. However, time will tell who really is destined to reign with Christ. In verse 13, Saul came to the high place after prophesying. As indicated, Saul prophesying is Saul singing to the glory of the Lord. This shows us that the high place, which signifies the church of the Lord's elect, is where we should be. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Saul's encounter with his uncle, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 14 to 16. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went you? And he said, to seek the asses. And when we saw that they were nowhere, we came to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, "Tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said to you, unto you." And Saul said unto his uncle, "He told us plainly that the asses were found, but of the matter of the kingdom, whereof Samuel spoke, he told him not." Saul's uncle represents our brothers and sisters in the churches of this world who are only interested in what the Lord has said to us. The Lord gave Saul wisdom to tell his uncle only what pertains to the finding of the asses and not his kinship. As the Lord told us, we must not cast our pearls before swine. That was exactly what Saul did. Matthew chapter 7 verse 2 says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dog, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." The choosing of Saul as king. 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 17 to 21. "And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all the kingdoms, and of them that oppress you. You have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations. And you have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourself before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel has caused all the tribe of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Mathri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found." Just like the people of Israel, we have all rebelled against the Lord, even though the Lord has wrought deliverance on our behalf in taking us out of Egypt, out of the world, that is Egypt, to come and worship him. In verse 19, we are shown the cardinal sin we have committed. We have rejected the Lord as king over our lives. The question is, in what way have we rejected the Lord as king over our lives? When through false doctrines we imbibed in Babylon or the churches of this world, we come to think that we have our own minds and we make our own decisions. When we think we make our own decisions and do whatever we like, then we are the man of sin sitting in the temple claiming himself to be God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, and that is worshipped, so that he, as God says in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Samuel requesting the people of Israel to present themselves before him by tribe and by thousands, resulting in the selection of Saul as king, is to let us know that our election to reign with Christ in the fullness of time is not by anything we have done. It is wholly the work of the Lord. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world because he loves us. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, verse 6 to 8. "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, has the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeem you out of the house of bondage from the hand of the Pharaoh, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 21 to 24. "When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their tribes, the family of Matthew was taken, and Saul the son of was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come there. And the Lord answered, behold, he has hid himself among the staff. And they ran and fetched him there. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upwards. And Samuel said to all the people, see you him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And all the people shouted and said, God save the king. The lot to determine the tribe, the family, and the person to become the king of the people of Israel was a way of knowing the Lord's decision in those days. This is because the Holy Spirit has not been given permanently to guide them. It was after Jesus ascended that the Holy Spirit took permanent residence in the Lord's elect to guide us to the truth. Mm-hmm. However, since all things are working according to the counsel of the Lord's will, every ruler appointed in this world is therefore of the Lord, whether it is through voting, military insurrection, assassination, whatever, etc. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. It is important to know that when Saul was selected, he was nowhere to be found because he hid himself. He knew that the Lord has chosen him, but he hid himself. The first time that man tried to hide himself from the Lord was because of sin. In this case, it was Adam and Eve whom they when they disobeyed the Lord. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 11. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? This implies that Saul hiding from the kingship was because he counted himself not fit for the kingship, because he thought he was unworthy. We are all like Saul when the Lord came to us to offer us the kingship of ruling with him in the fullness of time. At that time, we all felt unworthy of such an honor by the Lord. However, the Lord did not give up on us. My brother and sister, are you thinking that you are unworthy of such an honor by the Lord? No, don't give up. Let's continue to persevere until we possess the crown. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 38. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. In the final analysis, the people overwhelmingly accepted Saul as their king. In the fullness of time, the world will overwhelmingly accept us as their kings when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Again, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 25 to 27. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in the book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And there went with him a band of men whose heart God had touched. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. As shown in verse 26, the Lord will always find a way to support his chosen ones. The band of men whose heart the Lord has touched represent all those whom the Lord has placed in our path of life to help us achieve our goal of being able to reign with Christ in the fullness of time. Therefore, let's not take for granted those whom the Lord directs to cross our path, whether they are part of the Lord's elect or people who do not know Christ. On the other hand, there are those who don't see what we see. Here in verse 27, these people are called children of Belial, and they represent our brothers and sisters in the churches of this world. They despise us and do not think we can ever become kings. Like Saul, we must hold our peace, and perhaps the Lord will open their eyes to see and their ears to hear that we are the saviors of the world. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the kingdom of Egypt, of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. May we continue in him, even as we are dying to the flesh daily through his judgment. Amen.